I think we got two great hours in store for you this Friday afternoon on a couple of the most urgent topics of our times. But I got to tell you right up front, it's probably not a day for the kids. If there are kids in the car with you, you should probably get them some ice cream. I say that mostly because I want to be popular with your kids. So get them some ice cream, let them out to run for a bit, then you can listen. Second hour, we've got Trent Horn. He'll be here, and we're going to talk about homosexuality in the Bible. There are lots of people using the Bible to argue for acceptance of homosexual acts, and we're going to examine that in the light of Catholic teaching. This hour, we tackle a difficult topic, but one that needs tackling, the transgender movement. And whatever your views might be on what is called gender theory, you're welcome to call us, 888-318-7884. We'd love it if you participate in our conversation, 888-318-7884. In June of this year, the Holy See released a document meant to help educators consider the transgender movement and how to respond to it. It's called Male and Female, He Created Them. So right there in the title, you get an idea of where the church stands on all of this. And here to help us in our conversation on transgenderism is our good friend and colleague, Gloria Purvis. Gloria, of course, is the co-host of Morning Glory, which airs 7 a.m. Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. She's also one of the creators and hosts of Authentically Free at Last, a 13-part EWTN television series and DVD set about the nature of true freedom. Gloria is the chairperson for Black Catholics United for Life, which seeks to increase the size and strength of active Black Catholic participation in the pro-life movement. And you can find her on Twitter. As a matter of fact, you should find her on Twitter, at Gloria_Purvis. Hi, yeah. Gloria.
Hey, Si. So glad to be back. It's good to talk to you.
It's always a good Friday when you're here. Well, I guess good Friday. I don't mean that it's always good Friday, but it's always...
Right.
You know where
I was
going.
It's a good time, I hope.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. pointed out to me this Scottish woman who just passed away.
Yeah.
Her last name is Burns, Magdalene. Her first name is Magdalene Burns. Tell us a little bit about her and how that fits.
Magdalene Burns is, she died this morning of brain cancer, 35 years old. She was, I would say, if she were American, just to get this in perspective for American, U.S. listeners, if she were American, she'd be considered a left-leaning, progressive, feminist, lesbian. This woman then, using her voice, basically spoke out about the flaws with transgender ideology. She defended the meaning of the word woman. She pointed out all what she would call bullocks about how they talk about sexuality and things like that. She just said, this is all nonsensical. And I find her, she was an amazing woman in the sense that she basically was willing to stand up against what would be her crew, if you will, to say, this is wrong. And she suffered for it. She was called a transphobe. She was called a TERF. All these things are slurs against women who do not support transgender ideology. And Magdalene got a lot of hate, you know, from people that you would think would know better. But I mean, it's just so hateful. People are celebrating her death. They were happy when they found out that she had entered palliative care and just made the nastiest comments about this young woman who was dying, a woman who had so much courage to speak up against the falseness of the transgender movement without at all hating, quote unquote, people, you know what I mean, who were suffering from gender dysphoria. I think Magdalene, although we might not agree with her on everything, I think the fact that she had the courage and the bravery to speak out within her peer group, even in the face the kind of backlashes she did, is something that's laudable. She said, I'd rather be rude than a liar. So,
and you know, like one of the things that happened recently is that a man who identifies as a woman won the world bicycling championship.
Yes.
And she spoke out against that.
Yes.
And you can see where a basic common sense defense of women would be, no, you can't, no matter how you feel or no matter how you say you feel, you can't be the women's champion of bicycling if you're not a woman.
Right. And you would think that this is common sense. And that particular professor is a professor by the last name of McKinnon, who's a professor at the College of Charleston in Charleston, South Carolina, which is my home state. And he argues that if you made these same arguments about excluding black women from sports, that would be racist. Therefore, for the same reasons, it's transphobic to argue about excluding trans women from sports. And I've encountered that kind of argument a lot when I talk to people about transgender rights. They, for some reason, default to using black women as an example for why men should be included in sports. And frankly, I think it's just casual racism within the trans movement that hasn't been challenged. For McKinnon to liken himself to a black woman being excluded right. from sports is absolutely ridiculous. I've come across another person on Twitter that basically says trans women are women for the same reason that black women are women. And I'm like, wait a minute. Black women are not a category of women. We are women. And that's why I don't use the term trans woman ever. Yeah. I don't see that word woman to the transgender ideology.
That's the thing is when you say trans woman, mm-hmm. I'm one of those, you got to explain it to me 20 times kind of people on some things, especially things that are abstract. Mm-hmm. And I kept getting confused. When they say trans woman, do they mean a woman Mm-mm. who is presenting as a man Mm-mm. or Mm-mm. a man who's presenting as a woman? And so I think you have to not use those terms
right.
because they settle the issue for you. If you say mm-hmm. that man over there who is wearing a dress and it claims to be a woman on the inside or whatever the claim is, mm-hmm. if you just label that person a woman,
right.
you've given up.
Seated it. Yeah, woman means something. And we have to remember that whenever we see these terms, we have agreed then that woman then means whatever a man thinks it means. So a man can have the interior feeling and claim then womanhood. And I would say that's absurd because it detaches woman from objective reality. A woman is an adult human female. Now you would think this is like just straightforward, but when you say this, trans rights advocates get up in arms and get angry and call you a transphobe. I've even seen people, I call them trans identifying males because that's what they are. They're men who identify as trans, meaning they think they're women or claim to present as women. But anyway, I call them trans identified males because I do not see the term woman. I've even seen now these trans identifying males claiming to be adult human females because women are females and therefore they are females. It's the most upsetting abuse of language there is. Now, I feel intense empathy for people who suffer from gender dysphoria. But what I'm finding within the trans movement is it's not those two places don't overlap. Trans rights advocates sometimes, in my opinion, exploit people suffering from gender dysphoria to make to make that point that male and female is just a social construct, you know, and anybody, depending on how you present yourself, can be male or female, can be a man or a woman, should I say. And let me also add that the transgender rights advocates depend upon the most stereotypical roles for women. I mean, all the dolled up hair and the makeup and the push-up bras and the high heels. I'm like, that's an outfit. Being a woman is not a costume, okay? I can be in overalls and a t-shirt, and I'm more of a woman than some dude in a dress with high heels. You know, what I wear isn't what defines me as a woman. I'm an adult human female. That's what makes me a woman. I have a reproductive system that only works with the other half of humanity. That's what makes me a woman. So I think we need to be very clear about words and using words and not ceding words like woman to an ideology that basically plans to dismantle it.
I have to say Gloria, there's this maybe a sense of I'll just keep my head down and I won't talk about this. We don't have to talk about it. And, you know, if you tweet about it, then Twitter mm-hmm. will attack you. And if you, yeah. you know, like there's all the you're going to come under attack if you talk about this and you don't have to talk about it. But it really, to me, on this topic, the transgender movement, the gender theory movement, I feel very much the comment of Christ that be either hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Yeah. And it has to do with injustice, that this involves a massive injustice being perpetrated against women and children, basically. A massive injustice against women and children. And we're all supposed to, in the name of compassion, just not say anything about that.
And I, you know, I really think now is the time that we must speak. I mean, I don't think people are aware of how dangerous the ideology is. Right now, in Congress is sitting a Gender Equality Act bill, which basically will undo all sex-based legal protections in the law. Why? Because they will, sex will then be equated with gender identity. So whatever you think you are, you know, you can claim those protections. So that's where you have the cases of these men who are in prison for violent crimes against women and children, now self-identifying as women and demanding access to women's prisons. You had a man in Canada demanding access to a woman's rape crisis shelter. And of course, these women were like, we don't want a man in our space. And so they lost their funding and had to close. These things are happening now, right now. You had the case of a woman going to the ER, but telling them she was a man and giving her symptoms. And well, because she said she was a man, they didn't check to see if she was actually pregnant. And do you know, they're complaining about the ER medical staff saying, well, men can get pregnant. And I was like, nah. The biological facts of the human body, say differently. But because this person presented as a man, and then what happened is this woman who went in there identifying as a man lost the baby because she didn't give accurate information so they could treat her appropriately according to her body, which is that of a female.
Right. So, but it's outrageous that you have to say men cannot get pregnant. Like, it's outrageous that you should have to say that. It's such, like, the virtual definition of a man is a member of the human species who can't get pregnant. That's, yes. I mean, like.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? To add on to the, just the nutsiness of it, Planned Parenthood has now jumped into this whole transgender thing and talking about some men need abortions, some men can get pregnant. Yeah. I mean, all this, you're just like, what?
No, that's literally actually not true. First of all, nobody needs an abortion.
Well, that's true.
But
that's true.
Yeah. So, I have to say, Gloria, if you're going to be on the side of a movement that is going to say boys can be girls and girls can be boys, to quote the Kinks, then you are not going to have the easy time. So you are going to have to resort to labels and name calling and being mean. You're going to have to.
And
we have a movement that has become very comfortable with those tactics because there is nothing else to this movement.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Cy, because that is, you know, when you ask just questions, all of a sudden you're a transphobe. And then they pile on and they try to gaslight and they try to intimidate. Then they'll try to dox you, meaning if you're online, they'll try to reveal where you live, where you work, contacting your employers, and try to intimidate you through fear and silence when you're just saying this does not make sense. And you're just saying things that are basic and true and observable, that only men have penises, only women get pregnant, only women can get pregnant. So this now has become a time where they're trying to make us speak gobbledygook.
Yeah.
And it feels like 1984, right? That you're only going to say what we tell you to say, even though it contradicts observable reality. And so,
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. You're welcome to call if you disagree with Gloria and I, because it's obvious that we agree with one another. So disagreement is welcome here. 888-318-7884. Call if you have a question. Call if you would like to advocate a position contrary to the position we have taken. But the transgender movement, I will go so far, Gloria did not. By the way, on Facebook, everyone's saying, I love Gloria for speaking out on this, and Gloria is so great. what am I, chopped liver? I know, but you have a lot of fans that follow you around, Gloria. Yeah, but you can, you're also welcome to call if you just have a question about a proper Christian response, because we don't want to just have the response of, well, I don't know, logic and biology. Those things are important, but we are Christian people, and we want to have a proper Christian response. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. More on the transgender movement and the proper Christian response to that when we come back with our good friend and colleague, Gloria Purvis.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Hi, I'm Brian Patrick. Join me, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and Father Thomas Petrie for the Church Alive.
It's not a happy time at the moment in Washington and for the people who go to the Basilica.
Father, you mentioned a forensic investigation. Define forensic in this context.
I think it simply means they're going to be looking if there's any victims who have not come forward, if there's any substance to the allegations.
In other words, we're really digging down into what could be the allegations.
Yes. The Church Alive, tomorrow, 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I hope it's not confusing. We often do the kids shows on Fridays, but it's a very adult show today. Second hour, Trent Horn will be here with us. He recently did a podcast with a gentleman who wanted to defend homosexual acts for using the Bible. And you can maybe imagine the position Trent took on that. So we'll talk about that the second hour. This hour, we are talking about transgenderism. We're talking about the transgender movement. We are talking about it, we hope, from a Catholic Christian perspective. Mm-hmm. And I do think that we had to make this distinction, even though sometimes I think you almost feel like it's exaggerated how often you make this distinction. But there's a difference between a person and a position. There's a difference between a person and their feelings. Mm-hmm. And so it can't ever be the Catholic position to reject, for example, the transgender person.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course, because they're a person made in the image and likeness of God. We all are, no matter what our struggles are. We're all made in the image and likeness of God. We can, however, question the validity of the transgender ideology. And as a Catholic, I will tell you one of the things that when I started, first of all, when I started hearing about it, I was like, that just doesn't sound right. There's no way a man can become a woman. And as I started reading more into it, I realized that it was also thought-based, that you can think yourself into being a woman if you are a man. And that struck me as diabolical, because it's a mockery of God's creative power. Only God, through thought, if you will, if we'd use that term, can create something into the, you know, it can create the physical. So the fact that human beings are going around and saying they could think themselves into the opposite sex, to me, was just diabolical, for the reason that I just said, that it's a mockery of God's creative power. It's something God himself can only do, and we cannot. So, yeah. So just from a Catholic perspective, in the beginning, when I was looking through the ideology, I was like, this is so wrong.
You agree with Pope Francis on that, because I believe he used the word satanic to describe the gender ideology. I think he used the word gender theory, but it also does seem like there's this, I don't know, this in-group thing going on, where if you don't know the right term, you're not the in-group, and that it's very intense, and and like you're not supposed to say Latina anymore. Sometimes you're supposed to say Latinx, because you don't know if she identifies as a woman or not.
And it destroys language. Okay, it destroys those languages that clearly have the masculine and the feminine to differentiate between boys and girls. It destroys language. And that ought to tell you also how problematic that is, because it just makes language meaningless. It's chaotic. If I see you, Sai, and I have to go up to you and ask you, what's your preferred pronoun?
Yeah.
That also is so narcissistic that you alone can determine reality for somebody else. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I can see that you're a man, that you're a male. And so I would say
right.
he. So, but in these days, they say you cannot assume. So you need, I need to ask you, what's your preferred pronoun? And there's something very troubling about that. And now there's some people that say they're neither male nor female. They're non-binary.
Yeah, somebody famous was it today, but it wasn't somebody I knew.
Singer.
I won't say the name. Yeah. Oh, the singer. Yeah, it was
the
a singer.
Yeah, that guy
said he's a they now.
Yeah.
They.
Yeah. Doesn't even subject verb
right.
agreement. Forget about it. He's a they. They them.
That subject verb thing went out a long time ago, though. I have to. It's not the transgender people that that messed that thing up. A ton of calls, Gloria. I think we better go to them.
Sure.
Kimber is in Richmond, Virginia. She's listening to EWTN Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Kimber, thank you for your call. Your question for Gloria Purvis.
Mm-hmm. Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was really happy when I heard about this subject today, because it's something, as someone that is converting to Catholicism and taking my classes now, I find that this is something, even where I work, that it's almost like it has changed so much where that's the focus of where I work, and I have to agree with this transgender because of the industry that I happen to be in. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard being someone who people know that I'm converting to Catholicism, and they're like, so what you're saying is that you hate people like that? And I'm like, absolutely not. It's
right.
something I pray for them. But I'm having a very difficult time. I mean, I think more than anything with this, because I don't believe in it. I do believe it's a sin. And that's actually, for me, why I decided to convert to Catholicism, because I don't believe in so many of these things that are seeming to be, everyone thinks it's the right thing now. And I'm having a very difficult time with it. And I guess I'm looking for some answers on how to deal with it, because I do feel like I'm kind of like hushed up. Like, I actually had to like sign a paper where I work stating that, you know, that I would, you know, that I agree how I'm going to talk to people. And my thing was, I'm not signing a paper because I speak with everybody the same way. I treat everybody right. the same way. But so I guess that's where I'm at with it. I'm wrestling with this.
Okay. So I don't know if you work in the medical field or school or whatever, but it seems like I was going to say with the gender
I'm
identity
actually,
thing. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I'm in the cosmetic industry.
Oh,
which,
goodness,
you know,
girl.
That's a whole
yes.
other thing. So it's
honey.
A daily basis thing.
I know. I remember going into like Ulta or MAC stores and seeing men completely dressed up and dolled up as women or wearing all this makeup. But I'm like, I'm assuming that, you know, this is a man, and I'm going to refer to him with masculine pronouns. But I can only imagine a difficulty you have in that field. I can imagine a difficulty you have if someone comes in and tells you they're a woman and you know clearly this is a man. I would say, you know, use their first names. You know, it might sound redundant to say, you know, Jamie does this and Jamie wants that. And you know what I mean? To just get away from having to use any pronouns at all, just so you can keep some sanity and also have some peace at work, and also not be inconsistent and untrue, because the person is named Jamie, but what you're not doing is using whatever the pronoun is that that you know is contrary to the truth. And I mean, and this is a difficulty when we have not, as a culture, spoken up about the falseness of transgender ideology. And they have been very good at making sure they make their way into various industries and, you know, say, you will speak this way or else. And so it's a difficult thing. And I wanted to ask, you said you believe it's a sin. I was going to ask you, what is a sin? What were you referencing?
Well, when I'm just saying, just in general, I mean, there is male and there's female. And
oh, yes.
To me, I just feel like when you're saying that you're something else and you're proclaiming to be something else, to me, you're going against what God has said. And so to me, that's just anything that you do against God's word to me is not, it's not right.
Right. I understand.
There's also the second layer of it, Kimbra. I'll just throw this out. You see what you think about it, but that if you didn't, God is as Gloria said, is the maker of nature. If we try to build a society that ignores or defies nature, there's going to have to be a lot of sins that follow on that. Sins of deception. We're seeing the sins of child abuse coming out. The sins of demanding of people things that you shouldn't demand of them. For example, that they use pronouns that don't fit. So that it's the deception, it strikes me, that leads to a whole kind of system or of sinful acts that follow.
Happens, I find too, with it when they know people know that you're converting to a different, like Catholicism. I was Methodist before, and that's the first thing that I'll hear is like, oh, that's real Catholic.
We wear that as a badge of pride, Kimber. So we're so happy to have you. Welcome home to the Catholic Church. We haven't been the same without you, so we're glad you're here. More on transgender with our good friend Gloria Purvis right after this.
This is Bishop James Connolly of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
How would you like to have the very best and faithful Catholic content delivered daily to your inbox? Articles, video, and audio, apologetics, current events, and commentary. The Catholic Answers Daily Newsletter includes all that and more, and it's easy to sign up. Just visit Catholic.com today and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front page. Keep up with what's happening in the Catholic Church with today's leading apologists, speakers, and writers delivered daily to your inbox. Catholic Answers Daily. Sign up today at Catholic.com and get better at defending your faith one day at a time.
Would you like to become a Catholic Answers Live parish partner? We need you to help us spread the word at your local parish. We'll give you bumper stickers, window clings, flyers, everything you need to let your parish know about the best Catholic radio show on the air. We want you to partner with us. Email us at calpartners@catholic.com today and become a Catholic Answers parish partner.
Try to avoid conflict?
Share how you try for peace at any cost on Monday's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern.
Now back to more of Cy Kellett and Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. We're talking about transgenderism, gender theory from a Catholic perspective. The Catholic perspective on everything is that we have faith and we have reason, and those together bring us closer and closer to the truth if we pursue them with fidelity to the Lord. So there is a faith perspective on this, certainly. Gloria shared with you the idea that we are not the creators of our reality. God is the creator of our reality. And then there's just the reason part that says, you know what, the word man and woman, those words actually mean something. And it's not up to a movement to recreate the meaning of them. You're welcome to call with your comments, questions, 888-318-7884. If you just want to call to say how great Gloria is, please wait and call Monday morning to the Morning Glory Show. That's where they take those calls. You need to have a more interesting take than Gloria is great, okay? It's probably your family anyways, Gloria.
You know, I'm sure. They're all listening and calling, right? Yeah.
Let's go to Finley in Wilmington, North Carolina. Finley, your question for Gloria Purvis.
Hi, how are you all?
Hi, Finley. Very well.
Hi, Finley.
Hi. My name is Finley, and I recently, I'm a combat veteran. I built a national nonprofit for military families, and suffering with PTSD and losing my cousin to suicide last year took me on a trip up the East Coast where I studied PTSD trauma and suicide.
Mm-hmm.
It started with one thought process and ended with another. I interviewed on the streets. And I've written over 10,000 pages on my studies when I'm trying to finish.
We're having a little trouble. I'm sorry, Finley. You're coming in and out. Are you right up next to the phone?
No, it's storming here in Wilmington.
Oh, all right.
Nikki, okay. Yes, I am. And one of the things is I endured religious abuse as a child. And I found a lot more people, let me know if you can hear me, who had the same experience. And with the short amount of time that we have, one thing that I found is, you know, the body of proof, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and faithfulness, self-control. Who were those people along my journey? And what I found was after going to churches and asking for help, for support, for money, for a tank of gas, I really wanted to be a missionary. And I got told no, left and right. And it brought me back to my childhood, and it brought me back to what I felt was not belonging. That's our basic human need, is to belong. That's my, you know, just that is what we need. If you don't have it as a baby, you will die. If you don't belong, if you're not held. And so when I think about this discussion, I love be or hot or cold, or I will spew you out of my mouth. However, hot and cold on what? And I say, if we look at the Bible, above all love. So if I'm going to be hot and cold, I'm going to be, you know, for me, it's love. That's
okay.
That's above all.
Let me just ask you this, Finley. So in this context, in the context of gender theory,
correct,
what would you say is the love requires of us? How about that?
Yeah.
Well, we go to 1 Corinthians 13 to see that. But, I mean, love protects. So I have seen, I did, you know, talk to many people who were confused about who they were. But a lot of that, one thing that's most important is that what's your story is the question I've been asking for 25 years in the wellness industry. And when we find out people's stories and why they've gone that way, why they've chosen that path, our decision about what they've chosen, it becomes so much more clearly. So first of all, what's required of us is know thy peeps, is what I've taught.
You know, Finley, I'm gonna stop you there because I want to let Gloria get a comment in, but it's amazing what you're saying because that is exactly what the new Vatican document says, that we have to start by listening to people.
Yeah.
So I can't say that I disagree with that at all, but Gloria, I want to give you a chance.
Sure. I say, of course, listen to people, but I say you affirm only what's affirmable. And that's what's true. Love is not contrary to truth. Love is truth. And I find a lot of times when in talking with people with gender dysphoria or on the transgender issue, I find that people's minds, which is what is not well, isn't being treated, but their body, I hate to say the word like this, but there's no other way to say it. Mutilating healthy bodies when what needs to be treated is the mind. And so I think a lot of the approach is incorrect. And you can look at things like sexchangeregret.com. You can find that people a lot of times talk about suicide if you don't affirm this person's gender identity, but the suicide rate is not any better post, quote unquote, these sex changes. And you can look at sexchangeregret.com. People don't look at the actual medical harms of hormonal and surgical interventions on people, particularly on gender dysphoric children. I mean, it's very troubling. And actually, you can look at a video on YouTube that the Heritage Foundation had a panel of doctors talking actually about the medical harms of hormonal and surgical interventions on gender dysphoric children. We need to, if we're going to love, sometimes love is not the most comfortable thing. Love is to help to bring the person to truth. Love is to get the person authentic health care that deals with the issues of the mind that plague people that have gender dysphoria. We cannot affirm someone in something that's simply not true. I don't think that's real love. I think if anything, it is actually harmful, because at the time they find that actually young people, when they get into their 20s, their gender issues resolve themselves. But imagine being 22 as a woman and you've gone through a full hysterectomy and a double mastectomy because when you turned 18 and you had gender dysphoria issues as a teen and everybody was telling you you were a boy, you did this irreversible thing to your body. And then at 22, you realize, oh my goodness, what have I done? You've resolved your gender issues. But these things are real harms, and that's not love to lead someone to that path.
Finley, go ahead and your response.
I agree. So what's interesting is you keep using the word mind, and one of the things that I did during this time was I studied the brain, and I'm doing brain-based training for youth. And so instead of calling it the mind, calling it the organ, the brain, and studying the damage that is done by lack of belonging or rape, which a lot of people that I did find, by the way, I did find what you found. These are very...
I can't hear what you're saying. I couldn't hear.
Finley, it's really hard to hear you. I'm very sorry about that. But if you want to make a quick point, I can. We'll give it a try.
Well, I would love for us to call the mind a brain and study the damage that it does when someone doesn't belong. But most importantly, there's a verse that I don't hear being spoken of. That's what I wanted to talk about. And the verse is Galatians 3:28, which says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you are all one in Christ."
Okay,
and we will be souls at the end. Yeah, so that's what I really
wanted
to say.
With bodies, though, our bodies go with us to heaven. We are souls with bodies, and you know, we're not. And let me point you to Genesis 1:26-28. God said, "Let us make man in our image, male and female. He created them." I think the context you're using, Galatians, there, is not the proper context to try to affirm that there is no such thing as male or female. We are a dimorphic species, male or female. I think the context for Galatians there is referring to something different. It isn't talking about the physical reality of the body not existing. It's giving a different context for Galatians. Maybe Sai would want to explain that better than I could on what Galatians meant there. But
well, it is the case that Paul is making reference, and this transformed the world, by the way, to the radical equality of all human beings before God. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, slave or free. None of these categories matter as far as the amount of love and dignity you have from God. But, I mean, clearly, Paul talks in other places about men should do this, women should do that. And so he's not getting rid of the categories. He's talking about who receives or who is the recipient of dignity from God. By the way, a totally different view than could be found anywhere else in the Roman Empire at the time. Finley also made the point, however, and Finley, I'm going to say thank you because we are having trouble with that connection, about this idea of belonging and going to churches and not feeling a sense of belonging at a church or a sense of kindness from a church. And I do feel like we all should listen to that.
Oh, without a doubt. I do think people can be more welcoming to everybody that comes in the door. But I also think that when someone comes in the door and thinks they ought to remain unchanged after an encounter with Jesus Christ is sort of a false expectation. We all are going to come in there and have to confront the things about us that are, you know, not where they should be. I'll put it like that. And whether it's your attractions, whether it's how you think about yourself, whether it's your inordinate attachment to the things of this world, all of those things will be challenged when you have a real encounter with Christ. But that doesn't mean the people in the church should not be welcoming. There's a difference between welcoming someone and affirming someone in damaging behaviors. If a man comes to church with his mistress, we can be welcoming, but we're not going to affirm that adulterous relationship. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't be very nice to his wife.
Imagine that.
And that's the problem, is that there are victims created by these things.
Yes.
And we pretend like there are no victims. But as you said, there are many, many people who are going to be telling their stories of tremendous regret and hurt in the coming decades, especially if we don't get our act together on this. More coming up, more questions, more comments, maybe some more challenges for Gloria Purvis, our guest, as we discuss the gender ideology, the gender theory of our day, transgenderism from a Catholic perspective, more as we continue on Catholic Answers Live.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
I think it's interesting for the people who attend the family celebration to know that those of us who are there to present and participate are also pilgrims on a journey. I want to encourage everyone to come because just as it helps to build my faith, I know it will help to build theirs as well.
Meet Johnette Williams and other EWTN favorites when you attend the EWTN Family Celebration, Saturday, September 21st at Magnus Arena in Denver, Colorado. Register now and find out more at EWTN.com/Family Celebration.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Lots and lots of folks on the line for Gloria. As I said, I'm avoiding the calls that just want to tell Gloria how great she is. But if you have something you want to share, an insight that maybe we are lacking, an area that we have failed to explore, or even if you want to make a challenging comment, you're very welcome. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We're going out to Richard in Brentwood, California, also listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 130. Richard, your question or comment for Gloria Purvis.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I do, put it this way. There are transsexuals, there are transgender, there are transvestites, etc., and I knew one of the original transgender cases, a young woman that became a man. And I knew her as a woman, and I knew him as a man for many, many years. He was a friend of my family's, et cetera. He was a wonderful person. And over the course of time, he opened up to tell me all of the trials and tribulations and challenges that he faced in deciding to become a man. And that is a true transgender.
And so,
not just somebody who dresses up as a woman or a man.
Are you, Richard, I just want to, I've got you, Richard, but I just want to follow this all the way through. So
the issue the way I look at them is that these people are facing a lot.
Yeah.
And I accept them as who they are. And then the issue of adulterous actions, the sins part, that's a totally separate issue. The person first, and then the sin.
Okay, and let's let Gloria respond to that, Richard, because I think we understand the point.
Right. There's no such thing as a person that can literally change their sex. What this person has done is taken cross-sex hormones and had their female genitalia, healthy female genitalia, removed, so they give the appearance of maleness. But when that person dies, and if somebody were to dig up their bones and test the bones, it's going to show the bones of a woman, the shape, everything, the wider hip bones than men have. Her DNA is still that of a woman, even though she took for life these cross-sex hormones to make her look like and sound like a man, although she's still a woman. And it's a impossibility to change your sex. Surgery doesn't do that. All it's done is altered your physical appearance to give you the appearance of the other sex, but that's not who you are. That's what you look like. But that's not, your friend was still a woman, but it was a woman that was on cross-sex hormones and had her body altered. And I'm sorry to say, I don't think good ways to try to appear as the opposite sex. The deeper question would have been, what kind of trauma did she experience of a woman that made her hate her body so much that she would do that to it, and she'd want to hide from the world the fact that she is a woman? That's, to me, the deeper, bigger question. And I don't think surgery helps someone deal with it as much as it helps them to not deal with what these underlying traumas are.
Richard?
I don't think had anything to do with what she hated about her body at all. I think it has
to cut off her breasts and to remove her uterus. You don't think that has anything to do with extreme hatred of a female body? To take testosterone?
They didn't cut off anything.
So wait, but you said
remember when you take male hormones,
your breasts don't fall off from taking male hormones.
The breast changes shape and reduces its size. There was no surgery at all. None.
Then she still had breasts. She still had a uterus.
No.
So what did she look?
No.
She got rid of her uterus.
He was a contractor, and as a man, and went without shirts. So I have seen him as a man, and there was no scars, no surgery, nothing.
So what happened to her breasts? What happened to her uterus? What happened to her genitals?
Just the same way.
You cannot
as
take
an 80-year-old man. I've gotten man boobs.
But you still have.
Dude, you're singing my song there. All right, that's getting a little too close to home.
I guess the thing for me that it's just impossible to without surgery. Your genitalia doesn't go away. Your uterus doesn't disappear without surgery. You still have female body parts. So if this person did not get these things removed, I'm not sure what you meant by that they underwent the surgery. But nonetheless, even if they did undergo the surgery, it still does not change the fact that they are a woman with a, you know, I hate to say this, but to be frank with you, a mutilated body. They had a healthy female body that they opted to remove the healthy parts to go along with their understanding of themselves as a man. And I don't see that as an act of self-love.
Richard, I'm going to leave it there. A lot of calls to get to. Thank you very, very much for the call. Mark in Los Angeles, California. Hey, we're big in Los Angeles today. Also listening to EWTN on... Maybe there's something to do with Los Angeles there. But Mark, listening to EWTN on channel 130 Sirius Satellite Radio, you are up next. Your question or comment for Gloria Purvis.
Hi, Gloria. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I've run into trans people in the past, and my attitude is I humor them. They want to be called Jody, or if they want to be called she, I just go right along with it. I don't care. But I guess the answer is, Do we challenge that? I mean, is that the new way to do it? Do you say, hey, wait a minute, you know what? You're not a woman, and I'm not playing.
Oh, okay.
Well, do we treat them like the same people?
Yep, go ahead, Glenn.
Well, I think there's two different things. I will call Bruce Jenner Caitlyn, but I will not call him she, her, those things. People can go through a legal name change, and I'll call them their name, but I'm not going to use pronouns that refer to them as the opposite sex. I think there's a difference there.
Could I go even one step further and, Gloria, see if maybe we handle this differently? But if I don't know you and you introduce yourself to me as a man or a woman, I am not, because there are quite masculine women and there are quite feminine men. And that is definitely not a bridge I'm going to cross. Like, well, you don't seem like a woman to me. But certainly someone's name. If someone introduces you by their name, you would be very rude to say, I'm not saying that name.
Right.
So
I agree.
All right, go ahead, Mark. You want to follow up?
I was just curious. You know, you're always going to get caught up in a situation where you're going to have to use the pronoun eventually. I mean, I can't avoid it. It would be so conspicuous and very awkward. Any advice? And I'll leave it there. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I think I don't use a pronoun when I absolutely know. Like, I don't call Bruce Jenner, I don't call Caitlyn Jenner she. I call him he. I don't call, what's her name? Janet Mock. What's his name, rather? Janet Mock. I say he. Laverne Cox. I say he, because I know those are men, even though they claim the title and mantle of womanhood. They're not. McKinnon, that Dr. McKinnon at the College of Charleston, says he's a she, but I call him.
Man, you are really up on your gender-changing people.
that was off the top of your head, Gloria.
Like, yeah, that's a pretty good list.
They're paraded around in front of us all the time.
Can you name all the letters of St. Paul? Or are you more on this?
good one.
All right.
But, you know, calling somebody by a name, I don't have a problem with. It's just when you want me to use the pronouns and things that, you know, we know aren't correct, aren't true, are against objective reality, I'm not down for that. I am not going to lie on purpose to make somebody else feel good. I'm not going to distort language to make someone else feel good.
No, because it hurts somebody else. There's somebody whose struggle you're making harder by doing that.
Yeah.
But also, people don't have a right to make you a liar. Mark, thanks very much for the call. Naya in New Jersey, listening on 89.3 FM. You are next up. Naya, your question or comment for Gloria Purvis.
Well, I wanted to thank both of you, Gloria and Sid, for introducing this topic, because as believers, it is such a sensitive topic, and you are immediately called transphobic or homophobic if you take the position that, you know, I know what I know and I see what I see. When Bruce Jenner came out as Caitlyn Jenner, I'll never forget that day, because my 11-year-old daughter had her first menstrual cycle that day. Mm-hmm. And because of the confusion, we had to actually sit down together and really, really point out what were the differences between men and women, and why cosmetic surgery was just that he just experienced cosmetic surgery. He underwent no deep-rooted changes.
He certainly never menstruated. That's
menstruated.
That is fundamental to womanhood. I mean, it's not that if you there are women who of course have a situation where they never menstruate. Okay, but there are also eyes that never see. Menstruation is fundamental to womanhood, and we're pretending like these things that are basic are not. I think that might be Naya's point.
And Naya's at your point. I think it is, right?
I have a daughter who decided that she was gender confused. And for a while as a mother, I was very sad for her. Well, first I was angry because I'm like, my goodness, does this mean that I did not give you what you needed to love yourself? And she decided that she was lesbian at 11, and then which we had a really big fight about, because she felt that she needed to explore that. And I explained, you're a virgin. And at this point, that's all I have to sign up for. You're not allowed to do what you need to do to find out what your homosexuality looks like. And on top of that, if you were heterosexual as a teenager, I wouldn't sign on for that either.
I have to say, Naya is onto something that the mainstream media does not want to talk about, and that is that girls are being tremendously confused, because girls have very intimate friendships at 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. And I will never forget a friend of mine, her daughter said she's lesbian, and she was very upset about it. But her older brother said to her mom, and I'm not being flip about this, but this is what kids say now. He says, all girls think they're lesbians when they're that age now. And and the truth is, she's in her 20s now, or she's in her late teens, and she is not telling people she's a lesbian now. And when we say, oh, well, you know, there's no consequences to this stuff, Naya's right on the money. She's actually right. Girls are being tremendously confused by this stuff.
Well, and let me make this point too, if you follow transgender ideology and you say there's no such thing really as being homosexual or heterosexual, right? Because if I'm a woman that says I like women and then I identify as a man, they'll say I'm heterosexual, even though I like other women and I'm a woman. You see, so it's just sexuality by transgender ideology. When you start to buy into it, there's no such thing as a attraction to a particular sex, because you have men, seriously, you have men running around saying they're lesbians. I'm like, no, you're just a heterosexual man.
Yeah.
But they will say, no, I'm a woman who likes women, therefore I'm a lesbian. And this is the chaos of transgender ideology, what it introduces into the world, that now no term means anything. Everything is contingent on how the individual identifies or how they want to define the word.
Yeah.
So this is another aspect of transgender ideology that people need to recognize, and this is why we need to fight this. We have to fight the ideology and point out the errors in it.
Right. Man, Gloria, we're lucky we have you. I can't agree with all those people on Facebook who are just gushing over the great Gloria Purvis. I'm sorry. I've met her in person. All right, people.
He's like, no big deal.
The magic has been shattered for me. Gloria. No, you know that's not true, Gloria.
I know. We get on so well, Si. I love it.
I love it, too. Thank you very much for doing this dangerous hour with us. I know there will be consequences in your own life because of this. Yeah. People are going to say things about you, but but you're willing to accept that, and I appreciate it. God bless you, Gloria Purvis. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Si. Thank you. Take care.
Up next, Trent Horn is here, and we're going to talk about the Bible as it relates to homosexuality. More and more people making the argument that actually, if you read the Bible properly, it defends homosexual acts and what is sometimes called the homosexual lifetime. We'll get to the bottom of that with Trent Horn right after this. We'll see you then on Catholic Answers Live.